Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. It's unfortunate we've got another prayer today, which I suppose keeps with our theme of the sorrowful mysteries. A very dear friend who's a good Christian man recently lost a member of his family to suicide. It's a terrible thing to endure. And so I want to pray for him, and I want to pray for his family. You know, when a disaster like this strikes a family, it throws up a lot of dust in the air, and it can be rather difficult to see. And so I want to pray for clarity of vision, and I want to pray for those things which only the Holy Ghost can grant everyone affected by this. Now, once again, we've got another day with a pretty heavy prayer, but not all the prayers that we say have to be heavy, and I don't want all of the weight and the gravity of what we've prayed for yesterday and what we're praying for today to discourage anyone from sending anything in. If you have prayer requests that may seem, I suppose, I don't know, frivolous or trivial compared to heavy things like this, there's no such thing as a frivolous prayer if it's offered in faith and earnestly, and if it's for your own good. And so I encourage everyone to continue to send in prayers, no matter what they are, no matter how heavy, no matter how light. We may have a light one tomorrow. I somewhat doubt it, but just on the way that this week is shaping up. But we may have a light one tomorrow. Send it in. Be the one that sends in the lighter prayer. And you can send it in to the email is probably the best way to go. That's dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. Decad is DECADE, requests in the plural, @protonmail.com. You can also drop us a line over at the website, praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. Comment on any one of the posts that I've made there. You can comment on our where we're syndicated at ExodusAmericanus.com. You can send a message to @TheDailyDecad on Gab. You can also hunt me down on the Fediverse, Mario Goretti @NobodyHasThe.biz. And any one of those ways to get in touch with me, send questions, send comments, send anything that you've got. Prayer requests, whole nine yards. Go ahead and reach out. This is an act of reparation, praying for complete strangers and everything that that they might need. So please do help me do that. Now, for now, let's go ahead and get our rosaries out. Today's a Tuesday, so it's Sorrowful Mysteries. And we've been reviewing the Sorrowful Mysteries all this week, so we've got a lot to reflect on in the recesses of our hearts. But let's reflect chiefly on the needs of this anonymous servant of God and of his family in the wake of this great disaster that has struck them. Let's see, today is it's a Tuesday, so we'll pray in English today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us. And after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint Martha, Saint Lazarus, you who in the gospel suffered loss, deep loss, and did so when our Lord was not present, we humbly beg thy intercession, all three, before the throne of our Lord, who called you his friends, that he might send his Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to comfort and awaken a spirit of faith and a spirit of strength within those who have suffered this loss. The anonymous, the servant of God known to him and to his whole family, that their family might see in death the power of God and increase their faith as your experience increased yours and drew you nearer to our Lord. And we ask this in the name of the same Lord Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us and all of our losses, our struggles, and our strifes, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. O most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most sacred heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the longest time, the agony, or rather the scourging, was for me the most difficult of the sorrowful mysteries to get through. Not that the most difficult to understand, or the one that I didn't think belonged there or anything. It's not that it stood out or it caused me doubts, but it was the one that was the most difficult, and in some ways remains the most difficult, mystery to reflect on. And part of that, I think, is because the majority of the sins that I have committed and that I continue to struggle against are worldly in nature. They're of the flesh, overindulgence and various other things that make this particular mystery one, which is one in which I participate in directly. And that makes it difficult. And I'm sure that I'm not alone in this. And that really there should be a mystery of the Rosary that stands out to everyone, each one of us, as one that we connect with, one that we see either our virtues in or our vices in, and one which draws us in. That's the purpose of the mysteries, because all of us are at a different place in the passion of our Lord in our own lives. All of us are in a different place in the story of salvation that's unfolding in our own lives. And so to have one of the mysteries reach out to us and to really be an anchor point, I suppose, is part of what gives the Rosary its power and its role in increasing our own, well, I shouldn't say it gives it its power. The power of the Rosary is independent because it was given to us by Our Lady, but it increases its influence in our life. That's the way to say it. And the scourging of the pillar is one that all of us probably ought to reflect on a little bit more, because there's really two lessons that are contained in it that are equally important. And the first lesson is the one that's obvious, which is that our Lord suffers different punishments and different sufferings based on the various sins of the world. And the sins of the flesh are really heavy sins that are reflected in the manner in which the scourging takes place. Now, when Pilate sentences our Lord to a scourging at the pillar, the scourging that he receives is 39 lashes. Now, that's one lash less than a death sentence. In other words, that's the emphasis that's placed on the sins of the flesh in the Scripture and in the teaching of the Holy Church. That's how bad they are. That's how much they draw us towards death. And they are themselves death. And by this, we don't just mean sins of the flesh in terms of, usually we use carnal and carnality. We're talking about a particular kind of concupiscence. And everyone immediately goes to that. And especially in the world we live in now, in which we are completely awash in that particular form of carnality, or it's the one that's most emphasized, it's easy for us to think of that as being the chief problem. And so there's this sort of idea that the sins of the flesh are the things that destroy us the most, and the sins of the flesh are this one particular kind of sin that all fall into this category of what we do with our veneries. And that's not true, actually. The sins of the flesh go much beyond that. The sins of the flesh can be anything that attaches us particularly to the flesh and to the world. And so gluttony falls into that, drinking to excess, the various vices around consumption in general. These are all sins of the flesh. And it really, when you think about it, our world we live in now is awash. It just makes it more awash in the sins of the flesh, because everything that is celebrated by the world in which we live in, is all carnal in nature and all lends itself to the sins for which the scourging is a particular form of suffering. And so you have the sins that fall into crimes against chastity and against purity, but you also have the sins of consumption. Our entire society is built on, in fact, our economy would not function without massive amounts of consumption and usurious exploitation of ordinary people. I was reflecting recently on it. If you look at the, and I don't mean to get political, this is a very, very brief aside, then we'll move on, but right around the same time that it was decided by the secular authorities that the murder of children was permissible under rather broad circumstances, really, at the same time, you notice that workers' wages stop going up in this country. There are four sins that cry out to heaven for vengeance. Sodomy is one of them. And depriving the worker of a just wage is another one. And I think the 70s was also when the Stonewall riot took place. So you've got three major, of course, you've got the shedding of innocent blood. You've got the rise of a cultural institution built around sodomy. And then you've got the deprivation of the worker of his just wages. And people wonder why there's so much trouble in America now. But look at those three things. Those are the three cornerstones, or rather they're reflective of the pillars that hold up the society in which we live, the modern world, in their whole. The exploitation of the innocent, destruction of the innocent, and the corruption of the innocent. And these things are things which the scourging has direct bearing on. And they are sins that are really, should be the focus of the reparations that we make when we talk about the scourging, because they are constantly going on. And by living in a society that's built on them, I don't know that we necessarily we're directly responsible in any particular way, and called before the throne, would we answer for living in this society? God has placed us here. God has placed us here very specifically to deal with this evil and to make reparations. I remember reading somewhere, and I forget which source it was that I read it. I want to say it was Bishop Sheen, but I may be wrong about that. He remarked that as we add to the suffering and the pains of the scourging, which with each sin of the flesh that we commit, each sin of the world and of worldliness that we commit, carnality, so too, with each sin that we make reparation for, we take away from that pain and place some of that reparation, some of that pain, upon ourselves. And the reparations that we make help not only to help us participate in the passion, but also to either multiply or to subtract from our Lord's sufferings in the midst of the passion. Now I'm almost certain that I get it from Bishop Sheen, because he's the one that quotes Pascal, saying that the Christ is on the cross for all time, which he is. It's an eternal thing that we participate in when we participate in the crucifixion. Now that's the first lesson that comes out of the second of the sorrowful mysteries. Our focus on our reparations, on the sins of the world that our Lord suffered the scourging for. Our world is a world of the scourging. And there's also a second lesson. When our blessed Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was experiencing his agony, he knew what was coming, all of it, from beginning to end. He knew everything. It was given to him to know everything that the Father knows, except the exact date and time of the final judgment. Christ says that. He says that the day and the hour are known but to the Father, and which makes sense, as the Creator, only he would have that. But everything else Christ knew, and he had the beatific vision before him constantly, except for one moment on the cross. Knowing what he knew, he went into this passion of his. First, before the Sanhedrin, where he was mocked and derided and spat upon, as the Jews continue to spit on Christians in the in the Holy Land. There are some cultures in which people spit on one another. I've always found it to be a particularly disgusting way of showing disdain. It's one that, you know, in my own past, in my own history, in my own culture, we don't do that. And so perhaps it's a cultural thing, but in a lot of Mediterranean cultures, this is very common. Among the Hebrews and among the Jews, it remained common. They spat on him. They kicked him and mocked him and beat him. And these were early and rather small humiliations compared to what he would suffer later on. And then he goes before Pilate. And Pilate is a man who can look truth in the face and not see it. He is staring truth incarnate in the face and asks the question, what is truth? A man who is blind, though perhaps not for lack of trying. And he hopes to find some middle way out of this. And so he says, well, they don't like this man. I should do something with him just to calm the crowd down. I can't have a rebellion on my hand. But at the same time, I can't in good conscience put him to death. So what do I do? Well, he makes a decision. He's going to find the middle way. He's going to be the conservative in the room. He's going to say, well, let's just be moderate about all of this. As Christ tells the churches of Asia later on in the Revelation through St. John, there is no lukewarmness in his kingdom. And so Pilate attempts to find, to moderate the mob, and he seeks a way to find this wishy-washy middle ground. So he sends Christ a scourging. And how much worse the suffering must have been for Christ to know what he was to endure, to know when Pilate issued the sentence, to know that it was not going to work, it was not going to placate the mob, and he was going to have to be crucified anyway. Crucifixion is an agonizing death, and he had to carry the cross all the way up the hill to be crucified. This is a man who, with human frailties, had not slept, had not eaten, had been kept up all night and subjected to psychological torments, and now he's being sent to the pillar to be beaten. And actually, a beating would have been a mercy compared to what the scourging actually was. The flesh torn from his back, the blood running deep and dark. It was a horrific scene. St. Alphonsus Liguori talks about it, and it is horrifying to contemplate. The whole thing is horrifying to contemplate, but the scourging in particular, horrifying to contemplate. And how much more horrifying for a man who knew that it was meaningless. It was in vain. What Pilate was trying to accomplish was never going to happen. And so, due to the weakness of Pilate and the malice of the Jews, our Lord goes to the pillar to be scourged, to suffer what is physically probably the most intensely painful portion of the Passion. And we participate in this. I know it sounds preachy to say it, but we should reflect on the degree to which we participate in it. Because we have an inclination, I think everybody has an inclination, especially in this age, we like moderation. There are some who like extremism. Most of them are enemies of God. But the vast majority of people who would call themselves friends of God or desire to be his servants are... what's the word that I'm looking for? They tend towards moderation. They view it as decent. And they neglect that our Lord did not call us to moderation. He called us to temperance. But he did not call us to moderation. He called us to fanaticism. We are called to intense devotion. So intense that we'd be willing to die for it. to die an agonizing death for it, as the martyrs died for it, to join Christ at the pillar, to take the whiplash alongside of him, to give up the flesh of our own backs, to lay the cross against our own shoulders and rub it bare down to the bone. That's what we're called to do, and that's not a moderate or temperate thing. It's not a lukewarm thing. That requires fanaticism. Devotion beyond that which is polite in our society. It requires a certain extremism. And that's the other lesson of the scourging. First of all, that we are responsible in many ways for a lot of the pain that our Lord suffers in the scourging. But moreover, that the scourging represents what happens due to our inaction as much as due to our actions. And we can participate in sins actively. You can overeat. You can get drunk. You can commit sin of self-abuse or various other forms of impurity. And those are active sins. But also through our tepidity, our weakness, our timidness, we aid in the scourging. We hand Christ over to be scourged. It's a terrible thing to think about, but it's one that really is a quite important thing to reflect on, especially in any kind of penitential season like Advent is. And when we think about that little child that's going to show up on this planet on the 25th of December and bring us all to salvation, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that that baby is going to become a man and he's going to suffer terribly. And we have some role to play in that. And now is a season for us to do penance and to make reparation and to reduce the suffering of others through alms and other practices, through our prayers, all forms of acts of reparation, all the works of mercy, corporal and spiritual, are means whereby we draw towards God and away from the world, and therefore draw back a little bit of the pain. We weaken the arm of the Roman soldier holding that cat of nine tails. That's what we give Christ in these seasons, in Advent, in Lent, in any penitential season. That's what we're giving him. And so my prayer today is that all of us will be able to give with the fullness of fanatical devotion. That for as much as we have been responsible throughout any one of our lives for adding to the suffering of the scourging, we may, through our love for Christ and the works that we do and the prayers that we say and the faith that we hold in our hearts, draw away a little of that pain that we have caused him, and therefore taste of the salvation which his suffering has guaranteed to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.